Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is January 10th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm fantastic. You know, I'm ready to go. This is, we've just got...
Pep.
Yeah, I mean, this term, I feel like once this tournament's over, it just is like a rocket ship to the Masters, you know? Just a whirlwind.
It does really move. It starts to move quickly, very quickly. I think, you know, the slow part comes whenever. I don't know, probably post-Masters, I suspect. You're just kind of waiting, counting the days to major to major.
Yeah.
But yeah, this moves to April real fast, so... a lot of people would probably disagree with that, that January and February are way too long and dark and cold. But in the golf world, I think, you know, there's some entertainment, and we're going to start moving here.
And we, you know, we had to wait a little while, but we got our first rounds played under, you know, normal golf rules without lift, clean, and place.
I like how it had to be announced, like notified, like, hey, like it's like equivalent of like, hey, we're going to be using tee markers today. Well, there'll be flags in the hole. Like this was an announcement that needed to be officially made and confirmed and stood out. Like, hey, we're going to actually play the ball as it lies today from PGA Tour comps on both Saturday and Sunday, because, you know, I guess that is a toss up now. Every round we face on tour, that must be clarified. We're actually playing golf the way it's, you know, golf.
Do you think they're going to announce that every single round this year?
I would love it if that's all the comms became pin sheets, weather updates, and whether it's ball in hand or not. That's all the comms account became. That would be pretty good. They should do it for every single round. I got, like, people were really into this topic. I was getting texts from a neighbor that was in Maui last week. He said it wasn't raining. There was a lot of people from who live in Maui, who've been to Maui. They're just talking about how little it's rained. How can it be this soft? I mean, it had to be soft. They hadn't mowed the fairways in like 4 or 5 weeks. Yeah, I don't know. I can't believe we're going into this.
Hadn't mowed in a long time. I want to issue an apology.
Seamus Power?
No, just this earlier this week, I said that Cameron Smith seemed... ready for a step back. I didn't know that we were going to get a svelte Cameron Smith. You know,
he did.
I texted you on Friday night. God, this guy looks so fit. You know, he was so thick at the end of last year. You just looked like...
What'd you call him? You said he was an early stage Duffner. He's progressing on the Duffner
Here arc. He comes out of hibernation and he's like a new man. He looks like thin again. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think people popping you for saying, you know, good call on the regression. Like, I mean, there's 51 more weeks
exactly.
in the year. It was a year-long take. It wasn't
him and he's fit, he looks like he's, like, you know, trying to play golf at high level.
Well,
I take
think
that
he was
back.
Always
he's got some speed, though. He's hitting it way better than he hit it. Like... You know, just if we want to get into it off the top.
Let's just do it. Yeah.
He led I couldn't believe how well he was driving it. Those two rounds playing with Rahm. Also, just in general, what a weekend of golf. I mean, like, you see the best player in the world playing the best golf he can, and you get a guy like Cameron Smith you did not expect. Like, all weekend long, you kind of were waiting for him to, like, okay, when's Rahm going to take this over? And Cameron Smith had an answer at every turn. It was extraordinary golf. The scores were crazy low, but it was soft. It was defenseless. And, like, these guys played awesome golf. It was really fun to watch.
One thing I had noted, the driving as well. I put that down right away. Watching all day Sunday, I didn't watch as much Saturday. You know, I was in and out. But Sunday I was kind of locked in from early, you know, feature group coverage. And this isn't like, I'm not talking about like hunting angles, but like he was hitting it past Rahm, but he was hitting it to like better places than Rahm. And Rahm's the best driver. And not all hit fairways are created equal, right? And this is like the fallacy of like driving accuracy at like Wingfoot, right? Like it didn't matter. But like he was hitting it in the right spots of the fairway, whether intended or not, or luck on some. But like the one with the centerline bunker, he went to the right side. Rahm went out wide left. He was catching different slopes. He was driving it past Rahm with a fair amount of frequency. I think he led.
He led the field in strokes gained off the tee. So
yeah, and he's not particularly historically. That's not a strength.
Yeah,
of his, so.
I mean, last year he finished 117th in strokes gained off the tee. Yeah. 119th actually. So, you know, like, here's the thing. Cameron Smith, if he becomes a top 30 driver of the golf ball, watch out. I mean, This is a guy that got into the top, you know, 30 players in the world regularly with an unreliable driver and, like, you know, kind of can be spotty iron play. And, you know, the guy can get up and down out of a phone booth.
Right.
And, you know,
and I never ever felt like he was going to three putt, right? Like all those like 5-7 footers, like he never ever thought he was going to give one.
That's what I was with my parents and family, and my dad was like, "You think Rahm's going to get up and down?" And I was like, and this is on 18. And I go, "Well, it doesn't matter because Cameron Smith's going to get up and down. Like he's got to make that." Which he almost did, but that's the reality. And I think that's one of the things that is you know, if he makes a big leap, because like it just looked like there was more pop in the bat than there's ever been from the eye test. Like I've never seen Cameron Smith hit it like that. And if he makes this kind of leap, like if he picks up some speed, this is potentially a top 10 player in the world.
Is he the best Australian men's golfer right now? I mean, I know it's easy to say after a win like that. I think that you
I
have
think
least
maybe
been
Matt Adams. Jones, your guy. Do you think you have to issue an apology?
Why?
He went 62. He holds a PGA Tour record now. He holds a PGA Tour record. I think you need to issue an apology if I've ever seen one.
What? Because he went 62, 61?
He holds a PGA. You said he was going to be the worst player in this field.
I didn't say he was the worst. You were put me on the spot. I'm scrolling around for names that are, you know, don't jump off the page to me. And he jumped off. He just kind of felt like a guy you look 30 years from now is like, who's Matt Jones? What did he do? Well, he shot 62-61
this
weekend.
Nobody's ever shot 62-61 over 36
holes. Nothing against Matt Jones. Nothing against Matt. Who's the best Aussie? Cameron Smith? Like, the Masters was played next week. Or I'm sorry. Say the Masters this April.
All right.
Adam Scott, Leishman are the options. Jason Day.
He plays well at Augusta. You know? He had that. I think there's something about this, too. When I was just thinking about how this leaderboard, it's a small field, but you get three Aussies. Aussies have always played well. Four Aussies in the top 10. Obviously, there's only 30 players in the field. So,
right.
But Aussies always play well here. And it's just like, it's a different brand of golf. Even with how soft it was, it requires different shots. The elevation changes. This is just like the antithesis of driving range golf, even though it was like a dome this week out there, right? And I think like there's real validity to the Masters thing, you know, with the comps to Kapalua. And Cameron Smith is just another example of that. Like, you know, typically, like, he plays well there. It's just a bunch of, like, the guy knows how to play golf. Is he going to be the most exciting player to watch on a driving range? No. But he knows how to hit all the shots. And he has shots that a lot of American golfers don't have, around the greens in particular. And, you know, he's such a fun golfer to watch. It's so fun to see a guy that does it a different way. I think it's like, given how he's played the last few years, it's an amazing thing with his attributes to get, like, he's just one of those different types of players on the PGA Tour. Like, you know, I said that he was going to regress just simply because he is one of those different types of players. That's the easiest one. Like, somebody that relies on putting and wedging it, you know, is probably a pretty easy pick for regression. But, like, to see this guy, like, potentially, like, if he's hitting it, like, the way off the tee, the way he hit it this week, I mean, It's really awesome. It's just cool to see somebody take a different path than just like hitting driver, you know, bludgeoning golf courses to death.
It's one shy of the pancake zone. I think he's got four wins now. Two of them are their partner.
Yeah.
Two of them are partner. I don't know. Where is that? Like a half? Should that count up to one full? Two wins there. It's one full.
I mean, win. Do you think the Zurich in the team event has more or less validity than the Hero?
More, probably. Right? It's a full field. You got to play alternate shots. It's not like a cakewalk.
More or less validity than the Tour Championship. With the shadow leader, pre-net tournament.
Was there some comment? Did Brandel have some take about the... What happened there? I saw the video. I didn't listen to it.
I saw the Deep Fried Egg tweeted it. And Brandel said, you know, he was talking about Matt Jones. Maybe he could get to East Lake, you know, the Tour Championship, the top 30 players in the world. The FedEx Cup has infiltrated.
Your long held contention that the world rankings.
You know,
are
I'm
actually
glad. I'm glad Brandel's listening. You know, thanks for listening, Brandel. Welcome to the resistance.
Oh God.
Welcome to calling the FedEx Cup the world rankings.
Cam Smith hasn't done a lot at the non-masters majors.
No,
I know he had that early Chambers Bay one,
but think about Chambers Bay.
Hasn't done anything.
Think about Chambers Bay. It's like that golf course was so much more about creativity and flair. Like, I don't think you're ever going to see Cameron Smith like at a U.S. Open with thick rough and narrow fairways. Like, that's just not the type of player he is. Like at Erin Hills, I would like Cameron Smith. Jeez. Cameron.
Yeah.
Too many cameras.
Too many cameras. Cameron Davis was in there.
Yeah.
But
I just think like when you think about the types of golf that Cameron Smith plays well at, you know, you saw him play really well at the Royal Melbourne President's Cup as well, you know?
Yep. I think he's got to be the best Aussie. Jason Day is not really a player. Adam Scott, obviously the most gravitas career-wise. Well, you know, he has the credentials.
Here's the other exciting thing. The best Aussie isn't out there as a slap hitter anymore. You know, batting it around, bunting the ball out there.
Hitting it around.
Yeah. He might have pop now, you know? So
yeah.
He got an Aussie with pop. First Aussie with pop. At the top since Jason Day.
He's not a straight driver, right? But that was my big takeaway, is how he kept finding the right spots and pumping it past Rahman more often than not. And the one was Saturday night on 18. I think he thought he like blew it off the planet, right? Right?
Yeah.
And that 18th fairway, like you have the room to be like that. So what you're talking about with long and narrow, you can't do that. But at Capolillo's 18th, he didn't know if the ball was gone. And there it is, that running down the middle of the fairway.
Yeah, I think like the thing with Cameron Smith is when it's not a long and straight driving contest, when it's a golf course that emphasizes skills outside of the driver, when, you know, when if you look at, you know, say you use that course fit tool for data golf, when it skews towards every skill outside a driver, that's going to be a great spot for it, because there are few players in the game that have as many creative and talented as he is around those greens.
All right. Should we get, that's plenty of love for Cam Smith.
John Rahm?
Sure, we can do Rahm.
Or do you want to talk about Kokrak coming in last?
Did he come in DFL? Yeah. 7-under or something? It was a tough week for the Lucas zone. The two Lucases, Hebert and Glover, I noticed that. They were slumming it down there at the bottom. I mean, do you want to talk about how, related to that, last place was 7-under. There's a lot of chatter about the birdie fest. Good, bad, and different takes that it was good, takes that it was fine, takes that this is not okay. The broadcast, you know, reminded us every 30 seconds, like, can you believe these scores? How about these scores? They were staggering numbers. Tough day for Ernie Els devotees. Ernie Els appreciators, his record fell three times over, thanks to Matt Jones, Rahm,
and
Smith.
There's an asterisk, though.
Because of LCP, left clean play.
Yeah, left clean place, two rounds. I think we're still holding out hope that we're the record holders.
So the one sort of nuanced, I hate that word. The one sort of distinction I saw being made is that we can accept the birdie fests are exciting and acceptable in this event at this point of the year, as opposed, and they're not when we get to whatever TPC Sod Farms.
Why
and it's
does
July.
It matter? It was a great tournament. Like, this is what I don't get. Is like, were you like, I think, like, just in general, it's a compelling golf course. Whether, like, what I learned this week was that, like, even when it's super soft, it's still a fun course to watch golf. And I think it's because of how much slope is on the golf course. Like, you still have to hit these shots, and there's so much slope around greens. There's lots of greens that run away. It's just, you have to, the guys have to think about where they're hitting the ball, even when it's this soft.
I was looking at that Rahm shot on 18, like a 5-wood on a side. I was like, you could give me like 5,000 balls. I'm not talking about getting the green. I'm talking about just like making contact. Like, right, with a 5-wood, a fairway wood of any kind, a hybrid, with that, you know, side hill, downhill, whatever it is. Like that, you know, everybody talks about this is where, you know, pros are so just different golfers than you. I think that's one of many,
but
you know, and that it was crazy just looking at him line up with that 5-wood. And the thing was like directly straight, pure, like right through to the back of the green. So that does make it exciting.
I remember I was playing golf with ZB, Zach Blair, once a couple years ago. And I had this, like, we were in the same spot off the tee, basic identical spot. I had a side hill. You know, I was playing good golf this day. I posted a very good score this day. I had a side hill, kind of downhill lie, and I was trying to hit a 3-iron out of it. It was a par 5. And I mean, my ball went like 10 yards up into the air and kind of hooked left. It was, and I thought I hit it pretty decent.
Yeah.
He gets up right after me and hits this like towering. It was like a hybrid or something. And I was like, how did you do that? Like, how can you possibly do that? And he's like, I just hit it, man.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the thing. It's just, those shots are the ones where it's just crazy.
Yeah. So I think getting back to the original point that like the scores matter less, you know, I don't know. This event will always be good thanks to the scenery, thanks to the cadence, the time of year. Like, the scores are just sort of ancillary to whatever is happening, you know, just to have golf back and to have it golf back in this location. And like you said, the interest of this hitting different shots.
And let's face it, the place is like a par 67.
Right.
68. And there was no wind.
Right.
Like, so, none of the par fives are real.
I think it's similar to this NFL. All these guys breaking the records with an 18-week season, 17 games, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all these records are falling, these receiving records. Jalen Waddle, and I don't know. All these, Cooper Kupp had a chance to break some crazy, like Calvin Johnson, like a ton of records were on the edge. I don't know. It's a little different. Of course, though, JT said it was, what did he say? It's too short? Or it's this course is too short? A lot of people are talking about wind, the tweet, softness.
My tweet that got everybody.
I mean, Twitter.
Somebody told me that the Kapalua was at elevation. You know, the ocean's right fucking there. So
JT said the course was too short.
Here's what JT said. So this is all about low scores. Thomas says it's a combination of things. This isn't Golf Digest, your publication there. You might have edited this. It says it's a combination of things that play into it. Golf fans just need to understand what caused scores. I think everybody, they just see, oh, they're hitting it so far now, that's why it's so low. It's like, no, it's so... Okay, so just remember what he just said there. Oh, they're hitting it so far now, that's why it's so low.
Right.
It's like, no, it's so low because it's so soft, and it gives us soft conditions, fairways this big, course this short, we're going to shoot nothing.
So, I mean, contradicts.
Then, if you give us not very much wind. We're going to shoot even lower. Okay, the course was soft, and there was no wind.
Yeah.
But to say Kapalua, which is a 7,600-yard golf course, there's some holes to play downwind, all right? Now, even if we use...
Downhill, too.
If we are downhill,
as you
I
were
mean.
Told. Yeah, okay.
If we use the conversion chart that ESPN Plus was using earlier in the week of feet to yards, like, it's still like 7,000 yards. But like the reality is downhill, like the max downhill, what was it, play 200 yards downhill? That seems crazy. If there are holes that play downhill, let me tell you something. There's holes that play uphill.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, it might play slightly down.
You might end up a little lower than you started.
Let's just say it plays 200 yards down.
Yeah.
When in the world did 7,400 yards become short?
Right.
Why is 7,400 yards a short course? And that's the issue. So when we go back to, it's because of equipment, like JT is alluding to, they're going so low because of equipment. Well, what has made them
7,400
yards short?
Short.
And that's the problem with the game when you look at the future and resources, is that if 7,400 yards, really 7,600 yards is short for these guys.
Yeah.
We got problems.
Yep. Phil was talking about how he was just wiped out from the walk. Presumably it's not just, you know, a downhill ski race the whole time.
No,
you're going up,
uphill
right?
Holes.
I know.
The only way a course could play downhill significantly is if you had two clubhouses. Like, because they couldn't start and finish, or if you took a shuttle ride in or a shuttle ride up to start. And that doesn't, that's not how Kapalua works.
Right. Other things I saw, things I liked. You don't care about the birdie fest, right? We put that to bed. It's just all that matters. It's still a great watch and interesting. I'm not offended that they were 34 under.
I think like the thing with scoring is like, okay, everybody wants to clutch their pearls around majors, right? With this stuff, like, I just am more interested in like the shots that people are hitting and like the type of golf that's being played than scores, right? I think like it was really entertaining. You saw good shots, really rewarded.
Would have been more fun with more wind, a little more.
Yeah,
wind.
I mean,
but you can't control
that. It would have been way more fun with firm and wind. You know, the Kona winds everybody was talking about early in the week. So this is catnip of early in the week was Kona winds, heavy Kona winds. This hard wind out here, we didn't see any of that.
Yeah, yeah. Other things I liked. Do you have any thoughts on Rahm? I honestly don't. I mean, he played really well.
He's the best player in the world. He played really good. It was, I think, my bigger takeaway is how impressed with Cam Smith I am.
Yes.
That playing 36 holes with John Rahm, taking all the punches and always having an answer.
While Rahm's shooting 61.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like, you just kept believing he was going to fade out. Think he was going to fade out, and he just never did. And that's so rare, you know, for a guy. Like, think about all the guys that quivered with Tiger just anywhere near him, you know?
Sure. A couple other things I liked from the weekend. The audio, the hot mics were great. I don't know what this is with this event. Like, they just better than most of the others, or if this is a new standard we're going to get every week, or it's just quieter, or they're I don't know, the mics are up closer, but just everything from ESPN Plus to then the Golf Channel coverage. Like, it was just really, really good. It feels like you can hear a lot as long as, you know, they lay out a little bit like they did for Spieth on late, whatever that was, Thursday night. A lot of stuff this morning with Phil and Harris English were just chattering away.
You caught some hot mic there.
Oh, yeah. He's talking about equity. Like, they're talking about Andy North is, he loves sports. I'm sure they're talking about the NFL. And all of a sudden, Phil chimes, equity. You know, the word equity is being thrown around. The prior green, but you couldn't hear it all because they were talking over it. He was talking about how he's a really smart guy. You got to talk to him. Like, I don't know. Who knows what's going on? But aside from the Phil chatter about, could be anything, could be NFTs, could be a PGL, SGL, whatever it is. Just good, really, really good sound from, I mean, Brooks was dropping F-bombs about his putting. It just, you can hear everything. I like Noda and the level. I liked him coming out with the level. I mean, whatever. It's a bit of, it's kitschy fun, right? It's not like giving you the greatest insight. It's better than another freaking points bet odds change. Like, oh, holy Christ.
Holy we get those shit.
Every 10
I mean,
seconds.
How much money did points bet pay?
Well, it's an NBC company. So it's all, it's like popping the Olympics. So I get that it's a running, basically, ad. I think it's an NBC company. It's a running ad, more or less, for their own book.
I mean, how absurd is this that they're just...
It never adds anything.
They're explaining gambling. Like, they're enticing people to gamble.
Well, yeah. They're trying to get people to use their book. Has that ever added anything for you? Like,
no.
If you had done this at this point in the tournament, I don't think
it
doesn't shed any insight.
What I dislike about it is you got guys like Kurt Byram. Like, no, I like Kurt Byram, but he's like on there. I heard him talking about Patrick Cantlay. He's like, oh, well, you know, you throw some bones on him at the beginning of the week. He was 1,200. That's 1,200 plus 1,200. That seems like good odds. Like, you know, what does Kurt Byram know about gambling? Is he a gambling expert? But then he's like, and now he's just plus 400. I mean, you're up right now. And then it's like, well, he didn't win, so you'd lose. Like, nobody acknowledges, like, they're like, they keep saying, oh, it would have been a great bet if you got him at this. Like, it's like, what is going on here?
Yeah. Yeah. It felt like it was nonstop. They're just reading. It felt like it was every 5 minutes we were getting a odds shift update and stuff like that.
And this is something I you know, who knows if we'll ever have a gambling sponsor? It seems like a real cash cow. But I'll say this, and this is how I personally feel about it, is that we're just rewinding cigarette ads. It's like
said this.
Like, what are we? What are we doing? Like, we're gonna have, we're showing 13-year-olds TV golf coverage that's like littered with gambling ads. You know, it's like
now y'all
gambling's like a complete. Yeah, I am, but it's like gambling's like completely ingrained in this product to the point where if we have a generation of gambling addicts, that's not good. You know.
Presumably not. No, I don't think everybody's winning, I would say. That's
like
that's
when
not
you make
the
mistakes.
Business model.
Speaking from personal experience, when you make mistakes gambling is when you're like an idiot young kid, you know?
Sure, sure. So anyways, back to I enjoyed the level. It was a little bit of different. It's not adding the greatest value, but it's better than the points bet
stuff.
It's
something.
It's interesting in a way. A little Ken Brown, a little bit of Ken Brownie-ish.
It's a poor man's Ken Brown.
Right, yeah, well, I'm not saying it's a one-to-one there. Chris Chaney, I think, had a tweet about how the Home Depot had been cleaned out by Noda. I enjoyed that because he's buying all the tools.
What is the level? Here's my question. Like, the level gives you no frame of reference.
No,
because
I
you
understand.
Can't see any. Like, it's like, oh, okay.
There's slope here. You know, it's not flat.
You could have put a club down and it would have the same exact effect.
But it's fun. It's entertainment out there. What else do I like? Pace of play. I just enjoyed it. They got slowed up there at the end, 18th hole, but they were under 4 hours. But I mean, it's just like, let's just do more events with two twosomes and 40 guys. Can we just do that? It moves. It feels like a product I can actually consume almost from start to finish.
Here's the John Wood. Well, this goes to my take of just getting the tour down to like 30.
Yeah,
players.
Right. Yes. Yes.
It's just, it has to go. John Wood talked about, I think it was on Saturday or Friday. He was saying because somebody was walking all the way up to the green from 50 yards out, and he goes, this might be because they don't have greens books. And, they can't see where it is, so they walk up. And if greens books leads to more players walking up from, 70 yards and in, I might lose my mind.
You want greens books back?
No. I want them popped, though. They have a minute and a half to play or whatever the rule is. I think it's 40 seconds. You have 40 seconds to play. Walking up and back alone takes a minute and a half.
Hey, I don't want to get into we're going to probably talk about this a million times this year, But the enforcement of the Greens books thing seems like really, I'm skeptical of how this is being done.
Because with the first CT two rounds were played machine. In left clean place.
Well, I just like, it just seems like an easy workaround. Like your book, you're not getting like patted down and having your book inspected every round. I mean, I think these guys.
I think that's how it should work. It should be like, you know, in the movies when two powerful families are getting together from like gangster families.
Yeah.
And everybody gets patted down.
Yeah.
That's how go
and
to
they
the
flip
first
through the book.
The first tee at a PGA Tour event should be the bag should get just searched real quick, like you're going through TSA. The
well,
bag
given the
bag goes through the CT machine. Yeah. You get the full scan. And we look at your book. We look at your passport, which is your yardage book. The bag gets searched, and you go through
that's
the scan.
That's great. They yeah. could sell it. They could get a sponsor for that. And some security company would gladly come on
get
for
Mike
that.
Get Mike Wong
right?
on the case, and he'll sell you sponsorships.
We'll get to that in news.
That's
absolutely.
A good spot, but that's I'm saying that in a good way. The guy can sell.
Yeah, he can sell. Catch a popsicle to a woman in white gloves.
Always be closing, right?
Yep. Other things I liked, my favorite graphics, which it seems like we're going down this road this year. We had notable winners, which included the Patrick Cantlay and Justin Thomas sandwiched between the four majors. No gold medal guy. I like notable. We're just picking words out of the dictionary at this point.
Of course.
Like significant, notable, not major. Like it just like what is this? So we can crowbar the FedEx Cup and the players into it. So that amused me. I enjoyed it. This every shot counts thing, which they're just trying to play up. It's like an end around to get the FedEx Cup mattering more. Like this guy, here's what whoever, Seamus Power, whoever was 126, Chesson Hadley versus Rose. But it's a static thing. Are they going to be showing
well,
this every shot
Justin,
counts ever
Justin,
for the next 50?
Here's the question. Is Justin Rose playing next week or the next week? Does he have full?
They'll
oh,
show
he
it.
Still has full status. So it doesn't
right.
matter.
Sure. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Every shot matters. Every shot counts for some players. Rookies.
But it's that, just a way to try to make us care about the FedEx Cup win January and the points. And it was just that I saw that like four times this week. I just wonder if we're going to get that every broadcast.
One thing I loved, slow greens.
Okay.
They were like
why
10
that?
And a half.
Yeah.
You had to see guys hit putts hard. Rom, yep. I think the difference
Rom
between
pissed.
Rom winning and losing was he didn't yeah. get used to the greens for like 4 days. I think every tournament should be wildly different pace. These guys should have to go and
great.
Adjust every week.
Cam Smith was dialed in.
Yeah.
I never expected him to. Yeah. And that was so they can't go too short because of the winds, potential for wind, right? I mean, that's what Kratzer.
And there's some slope. There's a good amount of slope in the greens.
Sure.
I mean, there's
sure.
just slope because it's on a mountain.
Right.
But every sure. hole plays downhill, Brendan. It's like a ski. You take the lift up. They got a ski lift up to the first tee, and then they shoot you down.
Let's go to things I didn't like. We've gone through several of these. List clean place. The Lucas zone. Tough scene for everybody named Lucas. JT on course records. I mean, this is an honest to God thing. This is insanity. Like we're just soiling any kind of sense of records in history. Well, today you probably missed it. Rolfing got completely crossed up. They posted the best scores relative to par, and he talks about how DJ lit it up in Memphis. It was because he went 30 under. This was, of course, TPC Boston, that yeah. Deutsche Bank. So Rolf's on there talking about, and I was so confused. I'm watching it. I was like, God, I know he's won in Memphis. He's played well. Like I
Nobody
don't remember
goes
that
30 under in Memphis. The
yeah,
people,
I don't
people
remember that.
Memphis have to be pissed.
Yes. Yeah, so Memphis is just acquiring these like distinctions, and. I mean, this is honest to God. It's stupid. It's stupid. Nothing matters. Rolf ain't saying that DJ shot 30 under in Memphis. What was the other one that Finau won in Memphis last year?
Yeah, they had the WGC or whatever, the Memphis winner. It was Tony Finau because he won the first leg of the playoffs, which was the best is the picture is Finau with like It was either the World Trade Center or the Statue of Liberty looming behind him. And on the Memphis. Graphic, it says he won in Memphis.
So you've got the Northern Trust ingredient. You've got the actual WGC, whatever. It used to be the St. Jude Classic.
Well,
and you've got the WGC Akron. It's just all in a blender now. And I don't even know what's what anymore.
They erased Abe Answers. First career win right off the planet. He was playing in the tournament as a winner, and they just wiped it off the planet.
This is crazy. We have to be so dogmatic that we're everything gets renamed. Of course, we're talking about, you know, Mac O'Grady won the century, TOC, and these things like that. Like, you just at some point have to break away, because we're all the Memphis one is particularly confusing. I think that's going to continue throughout the year. Anything else that you did or didn't like from Kapalua that struck your fancy, other than it was just good to kind of have golf back and flying around?
It was just delightful. I mean, it's prime time golf. It's the perfect time. Like, you just last year I had a kid, but this is the first, I've got like bedtime, right? You know?
Right.
And what's so delightful about this tournament is you get, for me, in my time zone. I don't want to, you know, throw stones across time zones like you do. In my time zone, I put her down, and then it's like I've got 2 hours of golf left.
Yep.
It's delightful.
Yep.
More tournaments need to be on when people are home and can watch them.
Right. How the Prez Cup?
I don't know if that's that obvious, but like one way golf could get a lot more popular is more tournaments on at this time of day.
Can watch. Yep. The Prez Cup seems like it's going to be with us quite a bit, significantly this year. We love Trevor Illman, friend of the program. He called in. They had an interview with Trevor Illman January 9th. Prop, and then did a graphic. Well, here comes the Prez Cup September 22nd, and then there was a commercial for the Prez Cup. Just thought it was, it didn't bother me. The timing is, you know, it's a long ways away. It seems like that will be a continual theme through the year. And that's it. That's all I got. Great, great week. So good to have this back. Always will be. I don't think, you know, you'll find us saying too many poor things about this event.
Yeah, I was I was happy Patrick Reed clawed back after a tough start.
Worst ever strokes gained in his career off the tee. His first day on tour with the PXG driver in the back. Kaboom! Lost like four strokes.
Let's
or
not
something.
Draw any conclusions. All right, we're gonna let the data. We're gonna let it become a healthy data set before we draw conclusions. We can out trends.
We can have fun.
Yeah, we can. You know, but. Another thing, you mentioned pace of play. Maybe no greens books could sped that play up a little bit.
Yep. Again, I'm skeptical about the enforcement, but we'll be talking about that all year. News, the big one, you've alluded to Mike Wan, the U.S. Women's Open, since we last talked, acquired a title sponsor in ProMedica. I don't know what that is. Seems like a healthcare company of some sort.
Has to be some sort.
Right? Notably, we'll double the championship's prize money to $10 million this year in 2022, I think, with the plan to go to 11 and then 12 in the subsequent years, you know, more rapidly approaching the men's purse payout. And then new venues were announced as well, including an Oakland Hills and Interlaken, I think, to commemorate the 100th anniversary of, I think it was Bob Jones. Riviera got a lot of hype. Riviera added for 2026. Inverness back on. And then another back-to-back Pinehurst.
And Oakland Hills in 31.
Yeah, Oakland Hills twice. 31 and like 42 or something like that. So a lot of Big Ten. You got Detroit. You got Minnesota. You got Toledo. You got Aaron Hills coming. A lot in the Midwest there. So that's good. Good time. Good. It's earlier in the year, right? U.S. Women's Open.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks before the U.S. Open.
Like first week of June.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So, it's like right Labor Day or Memorial Day weekend. It's the week after Memorial Day weekend.
So that'll be good. I mean, do you have any reaction to this other than it's good?
It's awesome. I think like when you look across the venues, everybody's going to get excited, about Pebble and stuff. But like Oakland Hills is going to be fantastic. I'm really excited to see Interlaken. That's set to be restored. But, you know, Bama Bearcat, friend of the pod, texted about, yeah. like, you know, like, how many courses would you say out there are more compelling to watch the men to play versus the women? He texted me this weekend. You know, and you legitimately, we haven't seen both of them play everywhere, so that's, like, it's impossible to answer the question. But, like, I would lean to almost everyone is more compelling to see women play than men. And you're finally seeing the best courses in the world, in the U.S., at least, and then in the U.K., open their doors to women's championship golf. It's really great, and really happy about it. And I, you know, U.S. Women's Open is a must-see event on the calendar. Should be added to those graphics that they have.
The only thing I sometimes wonder about with the women's is, like, going to great venues that the men can't. Like, I'm going to see Oakmont. We're going to see Oakmont. We're going to see Pebble Beach. Like, and of course, I want to see the women play those events too, but can we get even more diversity of great venues that, you know, aren't regular sort of US Open or other USGA event stops? But yeah, this was all around nothing to say negative about that. And then what else do we have news-wise? Got a shout-out. Sad, the death of Bob Scheer. A lot of Aussie talk with Cam Smith. I got like several messages from Aussie. Nice messages. Nice, friendly messages from Aussie listeners about how Scheer was like an absolute prince of a man. Like, really good dude. Won the Australian Open at the Australian. Beat Jack Nicklaus. Payne Stewart, I think, as well. Also won the Australian PGA at Royal Melbourne. Played on the PGA Tour. So got to shout that out in news. Bob Scheer sounds like was a really good human being. And then that's it. That's all I got. Anything else on this Monday show?
That's
all right.
It.
We're off and running.
I've been sorry. I took a minute break there. I was reading replies about how Kapalua is at altitude, so that's why it plays short.
We're off and running.
You
in
guys
2022.
Know that altitude right on the ocean plays at altitude.
Literally, it's sea level, just about. Okay, so everyone,
it's a cliff above the sea, but it's at altitude. I can't argue with the guy. He's right. You know, one time I used altitude as an excuse for falling running in LA.
You did.
And you know.
You did.
So he's a man after my heart. But
yep.
It's a yep. pretty idiotic argument.
Hey, one more thing before we go. How about Ricky doing a Hawaii-themed activation when he's nowhere near Ricky? TaylorMade golf balls. He's
Come
in
on.
Hawaiian gear, hitting balls out of the sand and barefoot.
You know what? I'm turning my heel here this year. Let the guy get paid, you know?
Oh, I'm not critiquing him. I just
think
say,
we
like,
need
it's
to make,
really
I
working
need,
hard
to
get
to make
a Hawaii.
Fun of TaylorMade. For putting
yeah. well,
a Ricky ad out there when he's
that's
not
what
there.
I'm getting. That's who I'm getting. I'm not getting at Ricky. It's like just TaylorMade's got to come up with something different than that. All right. Everyone, enjoy your Mondays. We'll be back with you on Wednesday. We got the thick boy coming to Wailai. That'll be interesting.
And Wailai.
Wailai. Not yet. I think Wailai is.
Somebody corrected our pronunciation.
Yeah.
Well,
getting after us.
I couldn't. I tried it a few times. Wailai?
Wailai. I don't know. But Wailai is this week.
Wailai.
We'll be back with you on Wednesday. Thanks for your continued support.